are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back with you on this Friday edition. We're going to end the week as we do throughout the season. The keys to victory, week 14 against the New Orleans Saints. I've got some audio from the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, talking about numerous items and players on the 49ers roster. And we will hear from Mike McGlinchey, who's back to playing at a high level, recovered from his injury, has his legs back underneath him, and is really that guy that we hoped we'd see right after the injury. And hopefully Joe Staley is on a more, a quicker path to that. And we'll hear about Mike McGlinchey's thoughts on Joe Staley as well. And of course, those keys to victory coming up. You can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can also find my other show here on the network, Locked On NFL, covering the entire league with former NFL scout and ESPN writer Matt Williamson. That is also daily, just like all of the shows here on all of the teams, Major League Baseball, NHL, college sports, NBA, all covered right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock, or you can go to LockedOn49ers.com to find everything you need with this podcast. We're going to start and end with my two favorite sounders from this week. First, from Kyle Shanahan, talking about Richard Sherman, who did get banged up last week, looking good to go this week, and he was asked what the secret was to getting him back on the practice field.
Just some Mr. Miyagi stuff on him. He's good to go. So we'll see, though. I mean, Sherman always battles. You expect him to be out there, and hopefully he'll get better each day. You know, I know he's not there all the way yet. He's got a few more days to do it. Hopefully he'll be good on Sunday.
I like it. Good for Richard Sherman to get out there. Emmanuel Mosley waiting if need be. Have no problems if he has to be the guy who's out there all game long. Was blown away by how good Emmanuel Mosley had played this year. So the 49ers still in good shape either way at cornerback. And, you know, if he can't go, if he's not 100%, you know you feel comfortable with the guy who is behind him in Mosley. And the Miyagi quote is interesting because now we know there's a lot of questions I got in the offseason. What about the training staff? What's going on with this group? What makes them different? How is this better than the one before? Well, now we know. And it's working. For all the injuries the 49ers have had this year, they've had a number of them, but none of them catastrophic, really, to super important players. So the 49ers are in good shape for the last quarter of the season here that run into the playoffs. And I wonder if that Miyagi strategy extends to player development. Is like Emmanuel Mosley painting the fence all offseason? Is that why he's playing so well? Daniel Brunskill's like, man, we didn't sand the deck in the AAF. These are advanced techniques. And it's also a sign Shanahan's like a younger coach, right? Could you imagine Bill Belichick saying something like that? Something else that has really come up a lot and in mailbags, and people are a little bit worried about the kicking game and Robbie Gould. And I think it's pretty obvious where the 49ers stand. They have waived Chase McLaughlin. He's already been picked up by the Indianapolis Colts. And they're all in on Robbie Gould, and the coach doesn't seem too worried about their current kicker.
No, it doesn't. You know, he hasn't had the same numbers as he did the first 2 years because I think he was, he might have been perfect the first 2 years, maybe one miss, I can't totally remember. But all those misses this year haven't been totally his fault either. I know he's had some that have been, but others have been other guys, you know, whether it's the snap or the hold and things like that. We had a couple blocked. Last week was different. I mean, that was a far one, and the elements, you know, affected my decisions on a lot of things last week in the elements, but nothing with Robbie. Robbie's a pro. He's done this for a long time, and if we're in his range, I will never hesitate for him to go.
That's another element, too, to advantage why you want the 49ers to win out and get that one seed. Not only do you get a bye and maybe an extra rest for this team that had a really super early week four bye, you know, home field advantage is a real thing. It's not only crowd, it's not only the elements, the travel, but like knowing your stadium, the coin flip in this one was big. It's not even a home field advantage as much as Robbie Gould is kicking into the wind. And Justin Tucker for the game winner was kicking with the wind behind him. And, you know, what is it? Was 13-mile-per-hour winds, I think, when the game started. It was probably gusting at some points. Makes a big difference, and it could be the difference in a ball game. Oh, and the 49ers are getting a player back. Kentavious Street might see his first ever regular season NFL action for the 49ers. He has returned from IR. I think it's very unlikely, reading the tea leaves, that either Trent Taylor or Jalen Hurd comes back this season. So one of the two available players to come off of IR has happened. Every team gets two per year that you can bring back from injured reserve. Kentavious Street is the first. Maybe we'll see Hurd or Taylor come back, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. Now some more depth on the defensive line. Here's Shanahan on how Street will be utilized.
Yeah, I mean, with our two guys down, that's why it helped to activate Kentavious today to get him out on the practice field. We still have 3 weeks to activate him on that, but just having him out there helped with bodies and stuff, and we'll see how that goes with him and how the other guys heal up here this week and for the weeks to follow before we have to make a decision on that. As an inside player, you know, we used him on the outside in preseason to a degree just because we were so deep and stuff. But I see Street very similar to Solomon in terms of what they're made to do is play inside. But in a pinch, we use him on the outside also.
If you are a longtime listener to this podcast, you know that I wasn't a huge fan of the Kentavious Street draft pick. That's all in the past now. I mean, obviously, you heard Shanahan say it. I mean, he drafted Solomon Thomas and Kentavious Street, and these are all inside, maybe out players, you know, big ends, but kind of inside players and maybe tweeners. And they had so many of those players already, adding more. They didn't get a huge discount on a guy coming off a bad knee and an ACL injury that we've seen now has taken years to recuperate from. Hopefully he will be a player that can return from that and look like the guy who was at NC State. And he's a powerhouse player, 6'2", 280, you know, can squat the entire weight room. And now that the pick's been done, the rehab's been done, now hopefully we'll get actually to see Kentavious Street play. And hopefully for the 49ers, he is a good player and at least a rotational guy that can help them out. And at the very least, evaluate him going forward because you have free agents like Eric Armstead, Ronald Blair. What's the future hold for that fifth-year option for Solomon Thomas? I don't think you would pick that up at this point. Just be too high for a number three overall pick. We'll need depth pieces like Kentavious Street. George Kittle, take it easy this week. Is on the D Ford plan and limited or not practicing early in the week. Maybe getting some walkthroughs in. And it's pretty clear that George Kittle is going to be dealing with his injuries for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to say he's 100%. He was full go today, I think. Was he?
No.
I don't know. He was limited. We changed his reps a little bit. I mean, we got to take care of George because of what he's gone through throughout the year with his injuries. He played, I think, every snap last week with his, how hard he plays. So George is a guy who's not going to be 100% till the offseason, but we got to be smart with that. But he's recovered from his stuff. But as you guys know, there's always pain tolerance he's going to have to deal with.
The good news there is that George Kittle is probably going to be able to play through that pain through the rest of the year, and it hasn't really shown up that much on the field. Maybe it takes away a little bit of his explosiveness after the catch, but he's blocking his butt off, and hopefully he will be a bigger factor this week in the passing game. Have another clip or two from Shanahan. We'll hear from Mike McGlinchey. There's Pro Bowl voting numbers in, and of course, the injury report heading into Sunday's matchup against the Saints and the keys to victory. Long day at work, still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871. To set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find him online at gregstaxservice.com. One of the under-talked-about aspects of this game, obviously it's 2-10-2 teams, so they're well-coached. Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan might be 1-2 Coach of the Year candidates right now in the NFL, and maybe the winner of this game is the guy who gets that award, and it would certainly help that person's resume when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and Sean Payton. And Shanahan has a lot of respect for the guy on the other sideline.
He's right up there, not the top. You know, Sean's been, you know, one of the best, if not the best, for a very long time, and love his. You can see his personality and his play calling, how creative he is, how aggressive he is, and he's going to keep coming at you every play and attack your coverages, and he's a guy I always try to watch pretty much every week.
Have you taken plays that he's used and implemented in your own
No,
offense?
I don't do that stuff, man. Yeah, I've taken a lot. He's taken a lot. We all have taken a lot, so we'll keep doing that, too.
What does that mean if Kyle Shanahan will be taking things out of Sean Payton's playbook? Will 49ers be looking for their version of Taysom Hill and a guy that can run some of that zone read stuff that really was hard for the 49ers to play against last week in Lamar Jackson? Obviously, you're not going to find another Lamar Jackson at quarterback, but maybe someone who can be crazy versatile for your offense. The thrower type, I don't know if Shanahan wants to use that type of a gimmicky, for lack of a better word, type of player. He doesn't seem like he does, but who knows? Maybe there's some zone read and some wildcat in the 49ers' future. Richie James, maybe. He was the guy playing the role of Lamar Jackson in practice last week. And last one from Shanny, talking about the week at Florida and staying on the East Coast and how it benefits the team going into week 14.
Yeah, I mean, with it being in... What month is it? With it close to December. Is it December?
December.
All right. Okay. All I know is it's after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. With it being in December, and we definitely don't want to go somewhere where it was cold. So then we wanted to come somewhere warmer. And the main thing was we just don't want to practice on turf all week. So to be able to come to Florida and have the grass, I mean, this was unbelievable to have this place open for us. I did not know this was here and still can't believe it's a high school. It's pretty impressive.
I talked earlier about Mike McGlinchey, back to his normal self, playing at a very high level last week. He was asked about the 49ers' mindset going into this, if they're thinking about playoff seeding, where they're at right now in the standings.
I don't think we're worried about January yet. I don't think we're worried about seeding at all. I think the sense of urgency is to just get the job done versus New Orleans. That's all we're concerned about. And if we win the rest of our games, you know, the rest will take care of itself. So that's what we're going to try and do.
And he will be getting his... mate back. His big bro, the left tackle, the guy that's really taken him under his wing since he's been on the 49ers, Joe Staley. McGlinchey's thoughts on how it's been for Staley to be on the sideline, not be able to play, and getting him back this week.
Tough with him standing right here, but no, he's done a great job. You know, he's been an absolute pro about everything. You know, he's had a trying season, obviously physically, and but he's stayed in it. He's stayed with us. He's helped out everywhere he can, and he's taken his rehab as seriously as you can. And you know, we're excited to have him healthy again, and then hopefully get back to his old self. And you know, like I said, he's the leader of this football team, and he's been there every step of the way, whether he's been in the lineup or not.
Thank you.
Love you, baby.
That's great. A lot of babies getting dropped by the 49ers. Mike McGlinchey telling Joe Staley, love you, baby. There was the Jimmy Garoppolo post-game baby comment. I'm talking to Aaron Andrews. Yeah, I love it. Maybe that's the theme for the year. That's the DVD, right? The video yearbook title. 10-2, baby. Hopefully for the 49ers, 14-2, baby. Or better yet, 17-2, baby. Okay, where are we? Let's talk Pro Bowl. The 49ers, they got the most Pro Bowl votes in the NFL, leading all teams in Pro Bowl voting. Lamar Jackson leads all players in voting. Nick Bosa, 49ers rookie defensive end, leads all defensive players in voting. That one surprised me a little bit. 49ers fans showing up big in the ballot box here for the 2019 Pro Bowl. Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Richard Sherman, other 49ers who lead their position groups in votes in the NFC. Let's check in on that Friday injury report, shall we? The week's practices are over, and the 49ers are getting healthy, looking pretty good on the injury front here. Surprisingly, Kaywan Williams, not on the injury report, despite getting his ankles broken by Lamar Jackson last week. No, Kaywan Williams is a good player and is actually a really good run defender for a slot cornerback. But man, Lamar Jackson's just a freak of nature. That play was nuts. I wonder how many times that got replayed while the 49ers DBs were watching film. Players who have been on the injury report but fully participated in practice and are 100% ready to go. George Kittle, DJ Jones, D Ford, Matt Breida, all playing Sunday and fully participating in practice, as did wide receivers Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders. Richard Sherman fully practicing Friday. And that's all the full participants that look really good and are pretty much not on the injury report at all. Their three players are questionable for Sunday. Dante Pettis, who's dealing with a knee injury. Joe Staley is questionable. Looks like those questionable guys are going to play, though. Staley limited it all week. I don't know if that means he's actually questionable, if maybe he'll wake up and his finger hurts. I mean, I assume they're going to be able to tape that up, and as long as he can't hurt himself, he's going to be in there and play. And he wouldn't be practicing if there was potential that he was going to hurt himself. Marquise Goodwin, questionable, and only two players right now are out for the 49ers. That is Jaquaski Tartt with the rib injury, so it will be Marcel Harris getting the start at strong safety, and defensive tackle Julian Taylor is out with an elbow injury. And luckily for the 49ers, DJ Jones looks like he will play with his ankle injury, so you want to have one of those two guys, the big old donkeys in the middle, DJ Jones or Julian Taylor, playing for you to clog up the middle. Checking in on the New Orleans Saints injury report, really banged up on the offensive line. It looks like guard Andres Pete, linebacker Kiko Alonso, linebacker AJ Klein, and fullback Zach Line are all out for the Saints this week and questionable. Left tackle Teron Armstead, guard Will Clapp, and cornerback Patrick Robinson. Teron Armstead is probably not going to be 100%, much like Joe Staley. The thing is, Joe Staley's leg should be 100% now, and he has been able to run and move. It's just his finger that he's been dealing with, so hopefully his legs are better. And Teron Armstead, that's a situation that the 49ers should be able, and really the entire offensive line, because it's not like guys like Andres Pete were playing good anyway before that injury. So if the 49ers can take advantage of those players who are banged up and hurt on the offensive line for the New Orleans Saints, that's normally a pretty good unit when everyone's healthy. Ramchick playing very good for the Saints. By the way, Ryan Ramchick, the Saints drafted at the end of the first round in 2017. They were on the phone with Reuben Foster, if you remember. The 49ers helped out the Saints moving up, drafting Reuben Foster right in front of them, and it turns out that the Saints got a better player in Ryan Ramchick now, who's playing right tackle at a pretty high level for the New Orleans Saints. So interesting little twist of fate there between these two teams. Keys to victory coming up. The five keys 49ers to take home a W in New Orleans Sunday. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Here we go. Keys to victory for the 49ers in week 14 at the New Orleans Saints. Number 5, turnovers and penalties. Good teams do the little things, And this is something that's shown up a time or two this season on the keys to victory, and it should probably be on every single one because of how important it is. And we've seen it firsthand. Good teams win the turnover margin, not just interceptions from Garoppolo. You know, this isn't a bash Garoppolo key. This is, and Garoppolo is part of it, probably the biggest part of it for the 49ers. I mean, that's where you take care of the ball the most is obviously your quarterback and your running back. And the 49ers running backs haven't really been fumbling the ball a lot except for that one matchup against the Steelers that the 49ers defense pretty much won for the team, kept giving the ball back to the 49ers offense despite turning it over five times. But it's not just the interceptions from Garoppolo. And there have been too many of those. He's got 21 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, which is not a great interception ratio. You would like it to be 3-1, ideally, or even better. So Garoppolo can improve there, obviously, but the fumble was a killer. That strip sack last week on the second drive. And it looked like it might be another 49ers blowout win very early in Baltimore. You run down the field, you score quickly, get the ball back, three and out. It's like, okay, the defense is legit. The offense is moving the ball. The rain's not a factor right now. Let's go. And I thought the 49ers was like, oh man, is this going to be like the Packers game? And they're just going to straight blow them out. And then the strip sack. And boom, Baltimore scores. Everything is different from there on out. Like it is a, is like I've talked about it before on the show, the alternate 1985 from that moment on. You saw how much of a killer the Aaron Rodgers fumble was for the Packers the week before. Turn that game on its ear. 49ers favor early in that game. As soon as that happened, oh, it was on. The route was on. And how many touchdowns have been taken off the board for George Kittle alone this year for the 49ers due to penalties? In a close game that is decided by 3 points or less, those things can be an absolute killer. The 49ers need to be better with the penalties. Key drive at the end of the game against Baltimore. A first and 10 becomes a first and 20, and you throw everything out the window there. Now you got to slow play it and just try for the field goal and try to play keep away from the Ravens. Turnovers, penalties, the 49ers need to be good at those things and better than their opponents to beat really good teams and win these close football games. Speaking of winning close football games, key to victory number 4 for the 49ers, Robbie Gould. What's going on there? We heard from Shanahan talking about it. He doesn't seem worried. The 49ers have all obviously made their decision, so you know how they feel about it. Waving Chase McLaughlin, this is Robbie Gould's show. And it's not all on Gould. Whether it's Gould, the snap, the hold, the 49ers have to figure this out and get back to where things were in the field goal kicking game the past 2 years. It's played a role in both of the 49ers' losses by 3 this season. Key to victory, number 3, the X factors. So taking the normal, you know, wide receiver to, or quarterback to wide receiver connections, and obviously Drew Brees to Michael Thomas is a big one that we'll get to that. Garoppolo to his receivers, that I think it's the best we've seen for the 49ers in the Shanahan-Lynch era right now, with Garoppolo throwing to his number one and two targets on the outside, which are Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel, unquestioned now. So I like that that has been set, and like we know that now, and both those players full go on the injury report. The development from Deebo has been awesome. Take some more shots, by the way. Go let Deebo make those plays. But the X factor players like George Kittle in the passing game is so hard to, and he's such a good run blocker as well, so he impacts it even if he's only catching two passes like he did last week. But he's so impactful as a receiver as well. And when he's going and the receivers are going, that's a hard offense to stop when you add the running game on top of it. And for the Saints, it's the same thing with Alvin Kamara. You know, his number one thing is being a running back, but he's so good in the passing game. So Fred Warner and the 49ers linebackers and safeties versus Alvin Kamara is a huge X factor in this game. Is he able to get loose and make plays on the run after the catch? And maybe the ultimate X factor for the Saints is Taysom Hill. He's a weapon at the goal line, sneak attack passer on rare occasions, wildcat, option, zone read stuff. So how will they utilize Taysom Hill? Will they use a lot of it? Will they try to beat the 49ers in a way that the Ravens did last week in some key situations? I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson or anything as a thrower or a runner, but he can, I mean, he's an interesting player. And Sean Payton obviously has fun utilizing him on occasion and really the true X factor for the Saints versus the 49ers in this game and how they defend it when he's on the field. Key to victory for the 49ers, number two, the return of Joe Staley. The 49ers need Joe Staley to be Joe Staley. Cam Jordan has 13.5 sacks for the Saints this year. He is a really good player. Does not get talked about enough. You can't let him go all clowny on the offense and wreck the 49ers game plan nearly single-handedly like what happened against the Seahawks earlier in the season. And maybe, and it's blasphemy, but if Joe Staley's kind of just not right, or maybe you want to give him some rest at some points at the end of the half, or, you know, at the end of quarter, just whenever, like a drive here and there, because usually offensive linemen, they're in there and they play the whole game unless they're hurt and need to come out a little bit. Maybe get Brunskill some work. Maybe make sure that Joe Staley has his lungs and has his legs under him, or a quick hook in the case that he's getting beat up really badly, and let Brunskill play, because Brunskill's proven to be up to the task. So Joe Staley is going to be a key in this game, and you can't let Cam Jordan have his way on your offense. And there's some other good defensive linemen on the Saints too that's up front. I mean, up front is the battle, which brings me to key to victory number one for the 49ers against the New Orleans Saints Sunday. And it all starts up front for the 49ers. That makes this thing go is the pass rush. The best way to limit Michael Thomas too. Get after Drew Brees. Don't let him throw that ball to Michael Thomas. And here's some notes on why this, I think, will go in the 49ers' direction. We've heard about the injuries on the offensive line with the Saints, which helps. The 49ers have dominated everybody. That's what this team is, and we've seen it. And I think the Packers maybe were surprised by it. I think teams like the Panthers, they're like, you know, they're good defense. But no, the 49ers will dominate you up front and wreck your game. And this is the stats that prove that versus pocket passers this season for the 49ers defense. Week one at Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston. The Bucs scored 17 points, 194 passing yards, a touchdown, 3 interceptions, 3 sacks. Week two at Cincinnati, Andy Dalton. Their offense mustered 17 points. He had Andy Dalton's had the best quarterback play as a pocket passer against the 49ers this season, 311 yards. That was all just, he was just chucking the heck out of it because they were trying to come back because they were getting blown out from early on. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 4 times. Versus Pittsburgh, Mason Rudolph. The 49ers dominated Rudolph so bad that they were able to turn the ball over 5 times and still win that football game. They put up 20 points, 174 yards for Rudolph, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 2 sacks. Baker Mayfield, 3 points for the Cleveland offense on Monday Night Football in Week 5, 100 yards passing for Mayfield, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 4 sacks. The next week, Jared Goff, 7 points for the Rams, what used to be a high-powered offense, 78 passing yards for Goff. This was in Los Angeles where Goff plays the best. No touchdowns, 4 sacks. Case Keenum at Washington in the mud, 0 points. Obviously, the rain and the weather is a factor. 77 yards passing, no touchdowns, no points, 3 sacks. Kyle Allen blowing him out, 51-13, 158 yards passing. He hadn't thrown a pick to this point. He went no touchdowns, 3 picks against the 49ers, was sacked 7 times. Aaron Rodgers, 8 points mustered by the Green Bay offense and a Hall of Fame quarterback, 104 passing yards, one of his worst career outputs ever, throwing the ball 30-plus times, 1 touchdown, no picks, 5 sacks of Aaron Rodgers in that game. That's an 8-0 record versus pocket passers this year. 85 total points allowed in those 8 games, 10.6 average points allowed in those 8 games, 149.5 passing yards per game, 6 touchdown to 10 interception ratio for those quarterbacks in those 8 games, and 4 sacks per game. So 49ers flat dominating quarterbacks when they know where that quarterback is going to be. Russell Wilson, who's a great pocket passer, I mean, he's a great passer from the pocket, but his ability to get out and make plays with his legs changes the way you rush him, and that's the key here. And Wilson, Lamar Murray, Lamar Jackson, none of those guys lit it up. Wilson didn't fare well against the 49ers still. 232 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, sacked 5 times. That's including overtime. So almost, you know, about 5 quarters worth of play to get 232 passing yards and 1 touchdown pass from Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, they didn't line it up against the 49ers as passers, even though
They can make plays from the pocket and can spin the heck out of it. Both those guys have great arms. But with Wilson, Murray, especially Jackson, you have to completely change your pass rush plan. And I think that's the key. Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers, even Jameis Winston. We saw Winston actually make a couple of moves on Bosa in that game week one. Those guys can extend plays, but you're rushing them like any other stationary quarterback. And you tip your hat when they do make a play and get out of the pocket and do something with their arm. Drew Brees this weekend will be right where the 49ers pass rush expects him to be. Somewhere in the pocket. I mean, he's got great feet. He'll step up. He will slide. He's a future Hall of Famer. Doesn't have the arm he used to have. If he's able to be comfortable and hang in the pocket, unscathed from any number of sacks, hits, and pressures that the 49ers have thrown against every single quarterback they've played against, he'll be the first one. He'll be the first quarterback to do that against this 49ers defense all year. I don't think that will be the case. I think that's where the 49ers will win this game, getting after Drew Brees, because they absolutely kill pocket passers. And that's the number one key to victory for the 49ers at New Orleans Sunday. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be back Monday, a rapid react of everything that went down in New Orleans right here, Locked On 49ers.